Pellegrini, Graziano, a cast of, well, at least three.
What's going on, Green? How you doing?
Am I good?
Hey, you're good.
Money. Yeah.
I'm confused by everything that just happened.
I love the setup.
Our producer, Dave McKinnon, got engaged.
What was she thinking?
What is that?
Oh, God.
G, you see how I'm feeling, man.
What's going on, Swag?
Underneath these shades are swollen eyes. I have no place to go. I have nowhere to hide.
This is as good as it gets. Feel free to at me. Off the Wall is a better album than Thriller.
Get him, Greenberg.
Let's have this fight.
When you put bacon on anything, it tastes better.
What in the hell is going on?
Bacon on a hamburger, it is better. That's what Dak Prescott was with this team.
You're my brother.
You know what Andy Dalton is? Just like I told y'all he was. He's turkey bacon.
I'm a little nervous. Here we go. You ready? Come on.
Greeny, you hit the table. You missed the whole thing. You hit the table. Greeny.
Oh. Today has been great. Continue, Greeny. This is your show, Off the Wall.
Well, that was not one of my most athletic moments yesterday. I may have reset the bar even lower as we begin another hour from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, Greeny, Bart, Diana. RC is ready to go, and Mark Sanchez is ready to go as we get up with you after a Thursday night thriller, a wild comeback, a dramatic finish. Where does it leave us? In the NFC least, we will start there. Plus, a developing story. Could the Raiders be without their entire offensive line against Tampa on Sunday? Diana working the phones. She has the very latest coming up. And Ryan Clark has this, his power rankings featuring the biggest surprise of the NFL season. All that and more in this hour as we get up with you, starting right now. Eagles, Giants, last night. Eagles have won seven straight in this matchup. And Carson Wentz, team can take over first place in the division with a win. But Bart, we're going to pick this up. Third quarter, Giants down 10-7. Daniel Jones, he's breaking into the clear. Danny Dimes is going
to
go.
You got to put some respect on his name. He got to 21 miles an hour. What happened was he redlined and ran too far. No, here comes the turf monster.
Down he goes. Daniel Jones, unfortunately, taking the tumble there. It turns out to be an 80-yard run. His teammates had some fun with it. They would score a touchdown on the drive. So they're up 14-10. Fourth quarter, same score. Here's Daniel Jones. Had some good moments last night, including this one. A touchdown to Sterling Shepard. The Giants are up 21-10. They're going to win the game, right? Wrong. Less than 6 minutes to go. Eagles get the ball at their own 27. How does John Hightower get behind the defense, Bart?
Well, he gets behind the defense because watch him throw it, watch him catch. When you're a bad defense, you do bad things, and you panic during situational football. Great play by Carson Wentz.
They're down to the 14, and that sets up three plays later. Wentz going to find Greg Ward for a short touchdown.
Well, you talk about right here, this is the old Jerry Rice play, leading them into the pylon. Great play by great player.
They go for the two. They don't get it. So it's 21-16 Eagles, and now here's the moment. The Giants win the game if Evan Engram catches this ball.
Gator arms, I'm talking about. Come on, man. You got to lay out for that ball, make a play for your quarterback. Danny Dimes could have been a hero. Now the narrative has changed. Now they're talking about Trevor Lawrence.
Not even sure he had the layout for it. That's a terrible miss. So under 2 minutes to go, the Eagles, they find Richard Rodgers, and now Wentz has them in business.
Well, with this compromised offensive line, he knew he had to buy time. The off-schedule plays is what Carson Wentz excels at.
And then later in the drive, backed up by a penalty, first and goal at the 18. This is a gorgeous pass.
Keep your eyes on your luggage, Jabril. You're looking back at the quarterback, and you fell for the banana and tailpipe, double move, out and up. Oh, man, threw it right in the basket. You couldn't put in a better play.
That's a gorgeous pass to Boston Scott for the touchdown. Carson Wentz would throw for 359 on the night. Giants get one more chance, final half minute. But
one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Burping the baby. Junior Whopper hand strikes again, Greeny. Hands on the football at all times.
Ball comes out. Eagles hold on, and they get the win 22-21. The Junior Whopper hands is never going to not be funny to me, but I will try and get through it as we continue. And we bring Mark Sanchez into the conversation here. And so, Mark, let us start with
Mark
you.
Mark has talk double whopper hands, by the way.
Let's
double
talk about
hands.
Let's talk about the good from last night. Obviously, it wasn't the prettiest game, and it isn't the best division. But there were some good things. Let's talk about what you, Mark Sanchez, saw from Carson Wentz on that game-winning touchdown.
You know what I saw was exactly what Dan Orlovsky preaches about his, you know, love affair for Carson Wentz. And you could see it on that last play, on that touchdown to Bostic, Boston there. Listen, Boston Scott, excuse me. He sees, Carson Wentz sees two defenders. They're going to double this slot player. He sees Jabril Peppers one-on-one with his running back. He knows that running back's tiny. He confirms what he sees pre-snap. Right here, sees both of those defenders covering who he wanted to go to in the slot. What's he do? He finds his matchup that he wants, but he also feels his right tackle because Lane Johnson's out. This guy's in his lap. He's got to move. He's got to make a quick movement. He steps up in the pocket and delivers an absolute dime. This was one of the best throws I've seen him make all year, and he continues to do a lot more with less. And listen, the cavalry's coming. Goddard's going to get healthy. They're going to get Ertz back. This could be the team that ends up, you know, winning this thing late, and that early on, that tie, everything we were saying bad about the Eagles might come back and just be what helps them later on in the year.
I do sort of feel like that's a reasonable way to look at it. The division is bad, but Wentz might be the difference and the reason the Eagles are the best team in it.
I think everybody sees it that way. On Wednesday, when you ask, you know, which team would win the NFC East, I believe it was unanimous. We all thought that it was the Philadelphia Eagles, and because of Carson Wentz. I just want to say something about Boston Scott. Boston Scott trains with me. He was here the entire offseason, and every day, like we joke, we have a little tennis ball machine, and he would catch on the tennis ball, and he might do it for 30 minutes, and it could be 500 tennis balls that he shot at, and he might miss 400. But he's going to make sure he catches as many as he's supposed to catch every day. And so that's what this Eagles team may be. They're going to be a team of hard workers, a team of people that we are counting out. And with Carson Wentz, they're going to find ways to win games. And if this team gets a little healthy, someone may lose a first-round game to a team that's not even 500.
Yeah, we've seen it happen before, and it certainly could happen again. Diana Russini, let's go big picture here. Your sense on the NFC East in general right now.
Well, in regards to Carson Wentz, I feel like sometimes when winning will camouflage a lot of the flaws. And while we can praise that, you know, last drive there where he looked great, did we forget the other three quarters there? You know, he makes decisions sometimes that have every Eagles fan screaming, why? Throw the ball. He's always playing hero ball. Yeah. And at what point are we going to see this growth in Carson Wentz? And I think that's the issue that so many people have with him at the quarterback position besides Dan Orlovsky. It's just at some point, game situations, he needs to just get better at understanding what's happening around him, because to live in this space where you're so unsure all the time, which is, I think a lot of us are looking at him going, right, we see the talent, we see the ability, I sure see the toughness.
Lack the consistency.
But it's the consistency and the game awareness.
It's a consistency you need to be a superstar. See, you can be a star, but it takes consistency to become a superstar. It's doing the little things well consistently. And, you know, listen, this is going to be the best team that Carson Wentz has been on for a long time, because the rent is finally due in what Howie Roseman's been doing and kind of operating above the cap. You talk about $64 million over the cap next year, they're going to have to do a better job in bringing in talent around him. They try to put all the troops together to win one more time. Yep. You know, you think about Kelce, he looks old in the tooth now. Lane Johnson starting to look compromised. Jason Peters. And then you saw DeSean Jackson yesterday. You know, he's great when he can play, but the problem is he hasn't been able to be healthy. So the Carson Wentz and his, you know, massive contract is going to start to carry a lot of weight on how this team is going to be in the future. So they have to understand that the winning time for them is now. After this season, is going to have to be a massive reset.
Okay, let me leave it there for the moment. We'll come back with more on this, and we do have to get back to the Daniel Jones play as we go. But let's go on the clock, because we have big games this weekend. I'm going to give 45 seconds to my group here. And Sanchez, I'm starting with you. Cowboys, Washington. Who is the most important player on the field in this game? Mark, go.
Well, listen, I don't know if it's a player. I think I might have to go with Mike Nolan and this defense. They're giving up way too many points. If they can figure this thing out, they might be playing two different quarterbacks, whether it's Kyle Allen or whoever else comes in. Alex Smith might come in. But listen, these guys got to figure out a way to rally and tackle. They got to understand and be sound in their rush lanes. They're just giving up way too much, and it's making it very difficult on a backup quarterback in Andy Dalton and this offense. If they have to score 35 points again, I don't know if they can do it.
Do you see, Mark, very quickly, is it more scheme or is it more execution, the problems with the Dallas defense?
Oh, it's a little bit of both, but some of these runs should be stuffed in the backfield. Some of these runs should be stuffed, you know, 1 or 2 yards down the field, and they're just compromising their rush lanes up front, and it's making it too easy on the offense.
All right, Bart, you get the next game, and it is Steelers Titans, who's the most important player on the field? Go.
It's going to be Robert Spillane. You're going to say, who's Robert Spillane? Who's that guy? Well, he's a guy replacing the very talented Devin Bush, and he's on a collision course with the train. And the train is Derrick Henry coming through. Is this man willing to stand on the train tracks when the train is coming through? Now, Ryan Clark in our pre-production meeting told me he was a goon. Well, Derrick Henry's going to say, what's a goon to a goblin? And if he's about that smoke, we're going to find out, because this game is going to be played in a phone booth. This is going to be a throwback to some of the games that me and Ryan used to be a part of, and somebody's going to have to go night-night. Don't get thrown out the club like Josh Norman, because you're going to end up on a poster.
I wish everyone could have been in the conversation we had this morning. Sanchez, you would have loved it. Bart Scott and Ryan Clark, the old Raven and the old Steeler, were going back and forth. What's a goon to a goblin was by far my favorite moment of it. Okay, one more. RC, you get Seahawks, Cardinals, which has now been flexed to Sunday night. Who's the most important person on the field? Go.
It's absolutely Kyler Murray. And I know people are going to say, well, what about Russell Wilson? What about the guy we feel like is going to win the MVP? If you go back to Monday night, Kyler Murray was off. I don't know if it was being back in Texas, being in AT&T Stadium, but he couldn't hit the shots that he normally hits. So you know what he started to do? They started to use his feet. Every crucial conversion was made with his legs. Until he could get some of those big throws down the field to Christian Kirk, he's going to have to match Russell Wilson play for play. Big stat for big stat, touchdown for touchdown. And I'm excited to watch it. This is the time that we're going to see if Kyler Murray can eventually be the guy that Cliff Kingsbury always thought he was, and that's why he drafted him first. He gets an opportunity to show the world on Sunday night.
Yep, he may be the future MVP against the current MVP, might be one way to look at that game. We will take a short break. So much more football coming in this hour. Coming up next, there was one giant question mark for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers heading into their showdown Sunday in Las Vegas. It's an enormous developing story. Diana has the latest as we continue. And then, wait until you hear why Mark Sanchez says he's not surprised by Baker Mayfield's struggles with the Browns. All that and more as we get up with you on ESPN. We're back on Get Up with the most important conversation of the morning, this developing story. The Raiders could be about to face the Buccaneers on Sunday without their entire starting offensive line. Trent Brown was placed on the COVID reserve list earlier this week. Four of his offensive line teammates joined him on the list yesterday. Diana Russini has been working the phones on this for us constantly. What is the latest?
Yeah, so Greeny, the game was moved to that 4:05 Eastern to ensure that there was a Sunday night game. So in terms of this team as a whole, the offensive line is quarantining at this point right now. So the league and the NFLPA reviewed what was going on in Vegas, and they were able to discover that Trent Brown was not wearing his tracing device. That way we can get that information who he's been around. So that's one problem. The second problem is they did discover on video a couple offensive linemen not wearing their masks during practice. So now they're being very cautious. Basically, anyone who's been around each other and has tested positive for COVID is quarantining. So what does that mean? Well, it looks like on Sunday morning, this team could be without their offensive linemen. What's going to happen is they're going to get tested for COVID-19 on Sunday morning. Based on those results, a decision will be made about the game. There is a committee that has been formed by the NFL. So basically, it's made up of former coaches, some former players, and it's their job to discuss if there's any competitive advantage or disadvantage based on whether or not they'll have those offensive linemen. So let's say one or two guys test positive, they can't play. This group will decide whether or not this game should be played. But I'm told as of right now, the league plans on keeping this game intact. Meantime, we are waiting to hear whether the COVID-19 test results for today came back clean or not. So we'll know some of that hopefully in the next hour.
Yeah, so you check in your phone constantly. So we'll have the latest on that as soon as there is news. Meanwhile, Sanchez, we haven't heard from you on this yet. As a quarterback, just take me through what that would be like not knowing up until game day if your entire starting offensive line is going to be able to play.
Yeah, that's a little nerve-wracking to say the least. The most difficult part is understanding the guys are going to know that the scheme and the system and the plays, it's just the level of execution, the level of talent is going to be, you know, substandard. And that's an issue for Derek Carr and this offense that's really starting to get off the ground. So this could, you know, really affect them and make them take a step backwards, which is not what you want. They're feeling good right now. This is the last thing they need.
Yeah, and they're playing against a good defense, for whatever that's worth, but no offensive line would matter in any game. RC, I guess I will ask you your thoughts on this. The league is telling you with their actions that there's a chance the game won't be played. By moving it out of the Sunday night slot, they're telling you there's at least some chance the game will not be played. Do you think it should be?
I don't. I think it should be postponed. I think any time that you are saying you're going to wait to do things on Sunday morning to see if you can play that game, then you aren't truly putting player safety first. Listen, I don't care if they have to play with backup O linemen. That happens all the time because people do get injured in this game. But to say that the COVID protocols are important, to be checking and interviewing and doing different type of procedures to see if the Tennessee Titans have overstepped the protocol, if the Las Vegas Raiders have done so, and to be trying to fit a game in just to make sure that you have it, those things are not aligned to me. Those things do not coincide with one another. So to me, this game should be pushed back to Monday or Tuesday, as we've already done with some games this season, to make sure that those players are in the right place and also that these teams can go about their testing in the way that they need to in order to ensure the safety of many of the players in the NFL.
That's interesting. So you're talking more about the testing than who was actually playing in the game. Bart, quick thought.
Well, first of all, it's hard to have five good offensive linemen. You think that the Raiders have 10? I think that would be an unfair competitive advantage, you know, for Tampa Bay. But also, I think that you have to really consider what the Raiders are responsible for. If they didn't keep up with protocol, if they weren't, you know, holding their players accountable, at some point we can't put it on the team and the visiting team and having to reschedule and redo the whole schedule. At some point, somebody who's going to be reckless is going to lose a win and get a loss on their record because they're not keeping up with the rules. It's too important for everybody to make sure that you don't have fatigue and make sure that you continue to do what's necessary.
I don't think you can do that, though, B.
Well, this is a team, RC, that has had problems, right? Already we had John not with the mask. Yeah. We had that charity event. RC, I got 20 seconds. Go.
Well, I was just saying, you've already pushed the Pittsburgh Steelers back, and you've already put other teams in bad positions, so now you can't all of a sudden start doing things differently. I think they should be fined. I think they should lose game checks. They should continue to lose money, maybe even draft picks, but you have to think about protecting everyone the same way as you've done from the beginning of the season.
So I said it's the most important conversation of the day. Diana continues to work it. We'll have more as we go. Meanwhile, as we continue, the Big Ten finally kicks off its season tonight. Can Ohio State close the gap on Clemson and Alabama? Can Justin Fields close the gap on Trevor Lawrence? We'll get those answers from David Pollack. He joins us next. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and today is the 20th anniversary of one of the most famous Monday night football games ever, Jumbo Elliott, Bart, and the Monday Night Miracle.
One of my favorite moments of all time. I love when you see a big man score. He caught it twice. He didn't get two scores for it, but hey, he won the game. Vinny Testaverde getting it done, man. Jumbo Elliott, one of the best names in all of football history.
Down 23 points in the fourth quarter, came all the way back to win. They still refer to it as the Monday Night Miracle. And they haven't won a game since. All right, as we continue, coming up, Antonio Brown, see you in Seattle. So says the Seahawks' biggest star. Wait till you hear more of what Russell had to say about bringing in AB. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
No better drug on earth. Adrenaline coursing through my veins.
Justin Gaethje, my first round knockout again.
I just love it way too much.
Yeah, it's time to break them. Most exciting fighter in the world. Let's do this, baby.
I knew I was a killer stepping in here.
His mental strength is it.
The game I play is not a nice game. I came in here to die.
What a clash tomorrow, UFC 254 special time. It's Habib against Gaethje, the undisputed lightweight championship. The prelims start at noon Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus, with the main card on pay-per-view at 2 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV. All right, bottom of the hour. If you're just joining us here, interesting night last night, Thursday night football. Carson Wentz and the Eagles down 11 to the Giants in the fourth quarter, and then the comeback began. Bart Scott with this 49-yard pass to John Hightower.
You talk about this, a beautiful rainbow shot. You know, they were down by two scores. They knew they had to score in a hurry. You know, that was a great play by a great player.
And that sets up this. Three plays later, it's Wentz again, first and goal at the three. He's going to find Greg Ward to the pylon. Eagles would go for the two, and they would not get it. So they're within 21-16. Giants had a golden opportunity on a drop by Evan Engram, go by the wayside, and then the Eagles back in business going for the win. This is Richard Rodgers.
Recognizing the pressure coming off the right side, understand he had a short porch. They didn't secure the border on the end. He made some plays with his feet, able to get outside. Huge play to Rodgers.
And set this up. What a beautiful pass for the game-winning touchdown.
Only place where his running back can catch it, right over the shoulder of Peppers. This tremendous play by a player that stepped up big. Scott, I kind of like that last name.
Boston Scott, yeah, he's getting it done there. What a magnificent catch. Carson Wentz threw for 359. Again, they come all the way back and win from 11 down in the fourth quarter, 22-21. Carson Wentz struggled against pressure last night, but when he was not pressured, he was much better. Both his touchdowns came that way, 317 yards. Without pressure, a season high for Carson Wentz with a win he desperately needed. Meanwhile, let us bring back the masked slinger with Mark Sanchez, who was the masked singer, in case you missed that last week. Sanchez, let's look at some quarterback matchups. Who was a better game this weekend, Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. Listen, he's never had back-to-back multiple INT games in his career, and that's for good reason. He's going to be he's a little pissed off. He's got a bad taste in his mouth from last week. He'll get this thing. He'll get the ship right and have these guys ready to play. He's going to look good.
Packers and Texans. The next game is Steelers and Titans. Who you got, Ben or Tannehill?
Listen, I'm now the vice president of the Ryan Tannehill fan club. After Orlovsky went off on that new love fest for him and replaced Carson Wentz as his favorite quarterback, he really is one of the best in the red zone on third down and in the fourth quarter. That's what you need from your quarterback. And with a rushing attack like that, you got to go with Ryan Tannehill.
Got 35 touchdowns, 7 picks in his last 16 games. Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson, who you got?
I can't bet against Russ anymore. As long as he didn't cool off during his bye week, as long as he didn't do anything crazy, he'll be just fine this week. His fourth quarter antics, he'll be at it again if they need him. But I think they win this game handily.
All right, Mark Sanchez, the masked slinger. Meanwhile, speaking of that man, Russell Wilson, he was asked yesterday about the possibility of adding Antonio Brown to the Seahawks. Here's what he said.
I think that he's a special player for sure. I think that, with our culture, I can speak those on us, you know, and if he does play again, I think this is a place that he'll grow a lot as a man too as well. And I think that, you know, we're going to continue to try to help anybody who walks in this locker room, you know. And so I think it's not just about the games. It's not just about winning, you know, and stuff like that. It's also about, you know, developing and talking and growing as men.
All right, the quarterbacks all seem to want Antonio Brown on their team, and it's fairly easy to figure out why that might be. Ryan Clark, do you like it? AB to Seattle, do you like it?
Absolutely. Listen, when I don't know if you guys have been listening or been watching. Have you heard from AB? Has there been any social media fallout? Has there been anything reported on Antonio Brown not behaving himself in the way that we actually hadn't gotten used to? No. Antonio Brown has been about his work. The only times we've seen him was working out with Lamar Jackson in the offseason and working out with Russell Wilson. And all of these quarterbacks clamor for him because they understand what type of player he is. Remember, Tom Brady wanted to allow Antonio Brown to live in his house in order to play in New England. He's that type of player. And you add him to Tyler Lockett, David Moore, and DK Metcalf, you think Russ is Mr. Unlimited right now. It's going to take it to an entirely new level. But the thing I love about what Russ says is about growing as men, about being better people, about continuing to develop. And Russell Wilson seems like the type of leader, the type of player, the type of person that truly means those words. And I talked to Jamal Adams a lot. And obviously, he came from New York. So, you know, anything's an upgrade from there. It's like if you go from the Flavor of
Easy.
Love to The Bachelorette. It's a totally different show. But what I will say about what Jamal Adams says in Seattle is it's a great place. He loves the culture. He loves the way that he's treated. It's about winning. It's about being an adult, grown men. The things that Pete Carroll allows you to do, and develop. And I think that would be a great place for Antonio Brown as well. If he goes to Seattle, they are immediately the front runner, because I feel like even if they can't play defense, they'll outscore most teams in this league.
Mark, at the risk of asking a quarterback, I'll come to you in a second there, Bart. At the risk of asking a quarterback an obvious question, would you want Antonio Brown on your team?
Oh, me? I thought you were asking Bart. 100%. Yes.
He's not a quarterback.
Well, he had a version of Antonio Brown. Yeah. That didn't work out too great.
And if he's got, you know, they're different personalities, yeah. and Antonio Brown is the better player. Real quick, Mark, what would it mean to get Antonio Brown on that team?
Well, it's huge, and Ryan Clark brings up a good point that these guys have adopted Coach Carroll's mentality, and that's really about growing as a man and helping your brother on the team. Iron sharpens iron, and that's what it sounds like Jamal Adams is alluding to with Ryan Clark, but this is a defense. Don't forget now, they're a bend-don't-break defense, so they're going to give up a bunch of yards. They might even give up a bunch of points. But you add a factor like this, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but it's pretty damn close. He is unprecedented talent in this league. So if there's any way they can get him, I think they'll find a way to keep him on the right path, help him grow, and he's only going to help their team offensively.
Any hesitation, Bart?
Don't miss me with all this. I want to see him grow as a man. Crap. Listen, talent production breeds tolerance. Miss me with all this kumbaya stuff. Because if you ask Earl Thomas, if you ask Cam
Whatever
Chancellor, if you ask Richard
Whatever
Sherman,
it
ain't nothing to do about all this crap, man. This is about Russell Wilson trying to win a championship post Legion of Boom. Don't give me all this stuff. Come on, Ryan. You talked about me keeping it real with four quarter time. Keep it real about this, man. Listen, this is a team that understands that Russell Wilson takes so much cheese off the taco that they got to go out and get retreads. You know, they got Josh Gordon coming back, and now they're going to take Antonio Brown, and he can play in the slot, and he can do a lot of dangerous things. But this is about winning football games and championships. They don't care nothing about this dude as a man. They'll throw him right back out in the scrap heap as soon as they get what they need out of him, which is a title. And we know after they get the title out of him, they ain't going to pay him. They ain't going to put no cheese on his taco. Jamal Adams is still waiting for his cheese on his taco. But also, you talk about that defense so poor. We give a lot of crap talking about the Dallas Cowboys defense. They the Legion without no Boom.
I don't think anything further needs to be said than that.
Kumbaya, come on, better man, be a better person. Amen. Earl Thomas wanted to be a better person. You had to tell me hit the road, Jack.
All right, I'm going to leave it there because everyone now is going to go grab a taco, and I'm very happy with where exactly that conversation went. That's well taken there by Bart Scott. Let me jump to this because you know what happens tonight? The real football begins. Big Ten football back and better than ever. Illinois and number 14 Wisconsin opening up the schedule tonight. Illinois has lost 6 consecutive games on Fridays. Wisconsin has won 8 straight on Fridays. So we see where the trends lead. Meanwhile, Ohio State is the team everyone's watching. Their quest for a 4th straight outright Big Ten title starts tomorrow against Nebraska. The Buckeyes have the 3rd best chance of reaching the college football playoff. And then a ranked matchup between Michigan and Minnesota highlights the Big Ten slate this weekend. Since Jim Harbaugh took over in 2015, the Wolverines are just 10-14 against ranked opponents. And look who is here to talk about this with me and Sanchez. Oh, David Pollack is with us. And so, David, let's start by talking about Ohio State. Clearly, they have been the dominant team in the conference. Are they as good as Clemson and Alabama, the best teams in the country?
Yes. And we haven't seen them play yet, but they're the team that can recruit and has recruited at that level consistently. And let's be honest, Mac Jones has proven he's a great quarterback now. Trevor Lawrence, we don't have to keep talking about him. We know exactly what he is. You have to have a great quarterback, and you have to score points in this day and age. Ohio State has tons of weapons. Ohio State has a great offensive line and a great quarterback. So, yes, as soon as we get to see them play some football and beat up on some Big Ten teams starting this week with Nebraska, we'll start talking about them as the big three in college football this year. That, okay, those three are in the college football playoffs. Who are we picking next?
You know, and Mark Sanchez, as I come to you here, I feel as though there was a time, a moment in time, and it wasn't that long ago, where we said, oh, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, going to be an interesting season to see who becomes number one. Well, Lawrence seems to have distanced himself completely. How far behind is Justin Fields? What do you want to see from Justin Fields this season?
Listen, I think the gap is much closer than people think. I think you look at those last 4 games that Justin Fields played. It was Penn State. It was Michigan. It was Wisconsin and Clemson. He had 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. This kid can really play. He's going to close that gap fast. You look at Trevor's toughest games last year. It was Ohio State, which I still think Ohio State should have won. They got screwed on a couple calls. And then he played against LSU. Those were not great football games for him. And I've said this before. It's because they forced him to stay in the pocket, beat you with his arm, convert third downs consistently, have 10-plus play drives. He ended up in those two games, the most important games of his career last year, 36 of 70. That's not the top quarterback in the country numbers.
I'm with that. Forget top quarterback in the country. They're talking about him like he's the best prospect in a decade and a generational player. David Pollack, what are your thoughts?
You know, if you look at Trevor, his talent, I think, is the reason why he'll be the number one pick. I don't think there'll be a debate between Lawrence and Fields. They're just, you don't make many guys like this, dude. He's 6'6". He can throw the ball on an absolute line. Just, did you see the Georgia Tech clip last week when he's rolling to his left, full speed, and throws the ball 30 yards, Sanchez, on a rope, and it doesn't get over waist high or chest high. It's literally, it's stupid. It's not even human. So 6'6", running a 4'6", that kind of talent. Yes, Justin Fields is good. It's Trevor Lawrence, and then we can start talking about Justin Fields and whoever else you want to throw in that next level of conversation for who's taking a quarterback.
Fair enough. But David, because I only have you for another minute, let me just stay on Fields with you for a minute again, because he's the one whose season will start tomorrow. What is he good enough to be the second player taken in the draft? Forget about second quarterback. Is he number two overall in the draft kind of good in your mind?
He could be that. He could be that good. Yes. And when you look at Justin Fields, he's a more athletic Dak Prescott. He reminds me of him. He's very composed. Doesn't turn the football over, built stocky and sturdy like him. Last year, if you watched him start the season, he was learning on the job, didn't really know what he was doing, but still protected the football, make plays. Incredible poise like Dak, incredible mobility like Dak. I think he's a really, really good leader. I think he is a more athletic version of Dak Prescott.
Okay, sounds awful good, since Dak at some point soon is going to be the highest paid player in the entire NFL. David Pollack and company getting set for this tomorrow as college football in the Big Ten is back. Thank you, David. And of course, we have a huge one tomorrow night on ABC. It's Jim Harbaugh and Michigan taking on Minnesota. They're both ranked and they're playing for the Little Brown Jug. That's tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern. It's on ABC and you can watch it on the ESPN app. Coming up here, Ryan Clark's Power Rankings featuring the biggest surprise of the NFL season. He will reveal his top five coming up next. And we got a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one's for RC. Derrick Henry going up against the Steelers this weekend. Who's the only player to rush for 3 touchdowns in a game against Mike Tomlin's Steelers? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Remember that National Vote Early Day is October 24th. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and Sunday on ABC, MLS top scorer Diego Rossi leading LAFC against LA Galaxy. It's El Trafico. That's Sunday, 3:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. We are with you commercial free for the next 12 minutes, and then First Take comes your way with Stephen A. and Max debating the significance of Carson Wentz leading that comeback last night for the Eagles. That's First Take 12 minutes from now on ESPN. Again, we're with you commercial free until then. And right now, here we go, RC. Hembo's got you in the spotlight. Who was the only player to rush for 3 touchdowns in a game against the Mike Tomlin Steelers?
Would it be like Chris Johnson, maybe? Tennessee?
Not a bad guess. It was a playoff game. Ooh. The answer is Leonard Fournette and the 2018 divisional playoffs, that game that Jacksonville legendarily won. Yeah.
Jacksonville.
And essentially have not been heard from since.
I hate Himbo, man.
He had 3 touchdowns. The question is, how many touchdowns will Derrick Henry have this weekend against them? And that sets the table for Ryan Clark. Yeah, Hembo sending a little love. But RC, let's go. It's everybody's favorite. It is the power rankings, and you've been promising a big surprise this week, so I need to hear it. RC, your top 5 teams in the NFL right this minute. The floor is yours.
The top 5. Listen, this one was hard. It could have been Tampa Bay. You could have went Green Bay. There was maybe the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm going with the Chicago Bears. And I know that this is crazy, but the monsters of the midway are back. Listen, you got Khalil Mack right now. He is bending the edge as sharp as my barber AJ hit this lineup yesterday. And then you look on the back end, Kyle Fuller playing at an all-pro level. On the other side, Jalen Johnson is a monster as a rookie. And you know who's playing quarterback. I like to call Nick Foles J.R. Smith because sometimes he's bad and he can lose you a game. Forget that there's only a second left when he gets the rebound. But if he gets streaky, if he gets hot, he can win you a championship. And so you might see a shirtless Nick Foles at a Chicago Super Bowl parade because they are number 5. And at number 4, the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans are so good. Ryan Tannehill has played so well that now Dan Orlovsky has to date Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill on separate days just to keep them going on the show. That's how well Ryan Tannehill has played. Derrick Henry is a monster, running over people left and right. You want to talk about putting cheese on a taco? Josh Norman's been cheese on everybody's taco since last Thursday. That's how bad it was. And this defense is being opportunistic. Mike Vrabel understands how to make a team play under the structure he wants them to play. And they got to face my number 3 team this week, and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's playing at a high level. They got a guy named Chase Claypool. He is like Megatron if you gave him longer hair and you kept him inside a little bit so he didn't get quite the tan. On the other side, they lost Devin Bush, but T.J. Watt is a flat-out baller. Bud Dupree is a flat-out baller. Minka Fitzpatrick comes up, makes a play last week, but this team starts and ends with Mike Tomlin. The standard is the standard. Those things will never change. The next man is up. Those things will never change. And the fact that he's a top 5 coach in this league and a Hall of Famer will not change either. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, what can I say? This is a team that had everything they needed, and they went out and they got more. This team is so good that the threat of Le'Veon Bell being on the team made Clyde Edwards-Helaire go rush for 160 against the Buffalo Bills. Keep Josh Allen contained. One-hand interceptions by Dirty, Dan, Sorensen, and one of the best leaders in football on the defense in Tyrann Mathieu. This team is elite. We understand what they can do in the playoffs, and as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, you have a chance. And at number one, the A-B-list Seattle Seahawks. Listen, this team got better, and they didn't even play this week. And I know Bart says, hey, it's all about winning a championship. They'll ship you off after. They ain't gonna put no cheese on your taco. Maybe they like burritos, Bart. Maybe they eat other things. You don't always have to put cheese on a taco. Some people like junior Whoppers. And you know what about this quarterback? He has huge hands. He can eat regular Whoppers. He can eat burgers with eggs on them, cheese, and real bacon, not turkey bacon, because y'all know how I feel about turkey bacon. He gets the real pig because he's the real deal. The MVP and Russell Wilson sit at number one, and we're going to see them this Sunday night.
Brian Clark with the Power Five. He's got the Bears on the back end. You're welcome to my friends Waddle and Sylvie, who will be playing that all afternoon on ESPN Radio in Chicago. Well done. Meanwhile, I know the only thing that can possibly top that. You need me to tell you who's going to win every game on the schedule this Sunday. So let's do that. Browns, Bengals, you tell me which quarterback you'd rather have. Both number ones overall. Burrow is better, but Baker's got the cast. Cleveland bounces back 27-21. Cowboys at Washington, avert your eyes. If Dallas doesn't do this one, Jerry might have to make drastic changes. 23-22, how about them Cowboys? Lions, Falcons, veteran QBs who are best friends and deserve better than they've got right now. I'll take Atlanta at home, 31-23. Panthers, Saints, Teddy Bridgewater having a nice year, but his old team is better than his new one. 30-13, New Orleans. Bills, Jets. The Jets actually get Buffalo, then Kansas City, then the Patriots on a Monday night. My reaction, give the points. Bills, 44-3. Seahawks, Cardinals. Kyler Murray is the future of the NFL. Russell Wilson is the present. Seattle, 32-28. Niners, Pats. Bill would rather have Cam than Jimmy G, and he'll show you why on Sunday. Belichick bounces back big, 27-16. Steelers, Titans, battle of the unbeatens. Love both teams, both coaches, both quarterbacks. In a toss-up, I'll ride the experience. 27-26, Pittsburgh. Finally, Bucks, Raiders, John Gruden against his former team. Bucks are the best bet in the sport to win the whole thing, and they're a good bet in Vegas. Tampa Tom over Chucky, 26-21. And there you have the picks right there. And I want to take a moment here and focus in on Steelers-Titans because we needed to set aside a little time for this because the discussion this morning, and obviously this isn't the Ravens, but the conversation between the former Raven, Bart Scott, and the former Steeler, Ryan Clark, got heated. And it gave everyone a sense of what this rivalry could be beginning this weekend. So let's start with that. Ryan Clark, I know this game made you think about one moment you had in a game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, listen, this is about who's willing to sacrifice himself, who's not going to blink. And that's what I had to do when it was me and Willis McGahee in the middle of the field. And somebody had to walk off, or maybe nobody did, but I knew that he wasn't going to keep running. I knew that I was going to set a tone. That's what the Pittsburgh Steelers have to do this week. So many times we are playing highlights of Derrick Henry turning people into lead blockers. It's a Derrick Henry throwing Josh Norman out of the club because they told him no white tees and no tennis shoes. You can't have that this week, whether it's Vince Williams, T.J. Watt, Robert Spillane, or one of the safeties of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You need to get in a sprinter stance. When the ball is snapped, you need to start running downhill. And when you see Derrick Henry, you do not stop until your face mask is on the other side of his body. That's what this game is going to be about. That's what this game is going to take. If you want to take your place among the Steelers' great defenses, if you want to take your place when the Renegade comes on in the third quarter and everybody's getting hyped and all you hear is, oh, mama. Bart knows what happened when they play that song. When they play that song, the lights go out and then somebody else's lights go out. And that's what this week going to be about. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
They don't play that in Nashville.
Well, I'll just say this. So this is the conversation we're having in the meeting. And Bart Scott got upset. And he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that he had a big hit in a Ravens-Steeler game, too.
Well, absolutely. The reason why these matchups was always so well is because we were two teams that were built similarly. And when you look at, you know, the Tennessee Titans and you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're built in the same image, right? They're about running the football, toughness. This game is not going to be paid. This game is not going to be played, you know, on the outside of the numbers. It's going to be paid in a phone booth. It's going to be about who decides to be the toughest player that day. And, you know, sometimes you got to make business decisions. We all understand that the quarterbacks are the head of the snake. And we always taught to take off the head of the snake, because if you take off the head, then the body will fall. And this is what somebody's going to have to dare to do. And we're going to find out if Robert Saplin is a goon or a goblin, because he's going to have to make a business decision consistently within that hole. He's going to have to dare to step on the train
tracks. He ain't making no business decision.
He's either going to have to be the hammer or the nail.
Bart.
All right, these two guys are going to keep yelling at each other, I have a feeling, for the rest of the weekend. Let me get Sanchez in if I can, Ryan. Let me get Sanchez at work. The quarterback, do you feel fear when you watch those highlights? I'm just curious, Mark. What thoughts go through your mind?
So when we played the Steelers, I remember it might have been Bart, but it might have been Bart. And he said, this is a Thursday game. And I said, no, we play on Sunday. We play the Steelers. And he said, no, the way these boys play, you're going to feel this on Thursday, next Thursday. That's just the way the Steelers play. And this is a chance for T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, and Minkah Fitzpatrick to put their name on that Steelers defense. And that's a legacy of Steelers defense, like Ryan talked about. Those were some of the toughest games we've ever played. And it hurt like hell after you played those guys. So I know exactly what he's talking about. And this is really a great test for them to see if they're up to that Steelers standard. But also for Tennessee, can they hang in there with a team that's really a bully? And we're going to find out after this weekend.
Diana, this is your game this weekend. What do you have your eye on?
I want to see Ryan Tannehill's overall health. Did you guys see what the Steelers defense did to Baker Mayfield last week? We know he came in already with those bruised ribs.
That's what
but
it's
this
about.
This is like a real thing, though. They're concerned and how hard he's going to get hit.
You put barbecue sauce on those ribs. That's what these type of games are about. This is a man's game. If somebody comes in there and they have an injury on the injury report, that's what you target.
Yep.
All right. We got barbecue sauce on the ribs, and we got cheese on the taco.
I know.
Everyone is hungry.
Starving.
At the end
Go
of the
to Corral.
Program
give
today.
Us a shout-out.
All right. Let's leave it with the big news. Now, we're not going to – okay, we want to do it really quickly. Mark Sanchez, we wanted to get your reaction to this. Daniel Jones, a New York quarterback with a moment on tape that he's going to kind of have to live with. What are your thoughts on him falling last night?
Yeah, I wonder what that's going to be like. I have no idea. That's crazy.
Okay, you know what? That's the perfect answer.
That's a lot longer than I
love it. Yeah. Listen,
all I know is – the first person I thought of. As soon as I saw it, I was like, yes, Mark's out of the New York spotlight.
He's going to be a gift.
He avoided the offensive lineman, guys. He made it downfield. Good for him. That's great.
Okay. Well played.
I'd say that's a
well
win.
Said. All right. Diana, we finished with you Mark again. Katie. The big news, the Vegas Raiders were waiting on testing there, and you have an update.
Yes. So no positive COVID-19 test today for the Raiders. Obviously, this doesn't mean they're in the clear for Sunday, but this is a good first step. They'll get tested Saturday, Sunday. We'll know more on Sunday. But obviously, the potential that they may not have their offensive line on Sunday, it could happen.
It continues to be the case. But the game, the plan is continues to be for them to play.
Yep. The league is pushing for this game to be played at 4:05 Eastern.
All right. Nice. That, again, remains, I think, the biggest story here, and we will keep a close eye on that as we work our way towards it. The Vegas Raiders might wind up having to play their game against Tampa without their starting offensive line. It's been a great Football Friday. Thank you all for getting up with us. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.
Let's eat.